I will call the order of this meeting of the Customer Service Committee. Begin with a roll call, please.
Director Reddick.
Here.
Director Banks. Director Dodson.
Present.
Chair Wolf.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. The first item of business is public comment. Under public comment, I see that we have one person that has completed a request to speak, Mr. Vince Winkler. Mr. Winkler, if you would feel free to go forward. And
this is the third or fourth time I've been here, and I'm sure you're getting tired of seeing me. And not that I don't like you people, it's just I don't like coming here either. Now, this is still in regards to that towing incident on 530 regarding Windmark Towing. It's $8,700 we paid for that. Now, he came by my shop about a month ago and gave me a check for $4,185. And I wanted to shake my hand. I feel like shaking hands with the devil. I mean, somebody told him to give me my money back. What I'd like to know is, last time I was here, this was under investigation. How come nobody has contacted me? I mean, how come nobody's ever called me? This is like Kochman over there in Chicago. I mean, nobody knows what's going on here. I mean, this ostrich effect, everybody sticks their head in the sand and hopes this will go away. I'd like to know is how, I've talked to several people in towing companies that tow for you. They will testify against Linmar Towing. They will testify against him. Now, these are people that, you know, work for you that don't even like this guy. I mean, you know, and it's a pretty close-knit thing. And I couldn't understand why he kept bugging the driver that it was a recovery. It was a recovery. Recovery, for me, you know, it rolls over. I mean, somebody gets hurt. I've got a picture. Anybody wants to see this? Where that truck was stuck. And you read your own rules. It's well within, we call the tow truck. We called the tow truck, not you people. We were out of the way. Everybody has given me such, you know, like, no. Here it is. I got more pictures of this. By the way, my second daughter got married, and I still have more pictures of this than at my second daughter's wedding. So, you know, if somebody would like to see this stuff, you know, I'd love to show it to you. 5 minutes of somebody's time. 5 minutes. That's all I ask. And I'll go away or Linmark goes away. That's all. I mean, this is insane. Here's his so-called dolly that got hurt. That was on the bill. $450 extra. But it was underneath this truck over here before he even wrote it. Now, how do you figure that? Is the guy that good, or is he a thief? I ask you. Is he a thief, or is he that good? He knew the dolly was damaged. Here's when we were unloading the truck at your facility. Now, that's right there in Hillside. I think that's Hillside. It might be Oak Park, or Oak Brook, I'm sorry. And he's got three trucks out here. When he sent me the second bill over here, one of the trucks disappeared completely off the bill. Completely off the bill. His hours are adjusted here. They went from 8 hours to 4 hours, which is about two and a half, three hours, much more than it took. So the bill went from $8,700. And now let me tell you something. For $8,700, my daughter just put in a driveway at her house, and her fireplace is fixed. and put a bay window in. That was $8,700 for Linmar Towing. And if you go by his original time, it took 6 hours. Pretty good though for three guys, three trucks. I mean, I'm lucky to get $110 a truck, a man hour. So there's something, you know, this is craziness. I mean, why did everybody, you could say you have sponsors, but somebody sponsors me on something. Well, if I'm a sponsor, so getting sponsored somewhere, you're darn well, Winkler's Tree Service is going to perform. We're going to perform. Because I don't want anybody saying, he's not worth the money. He's not worth it. He's a thief. You never read about me in the paper. Why is that? I've been around for 30, 40 years. Has anybody ever read anything that I stole? Anything? No. There's a reason for that. But I'd still like to know, lady over here in the white and black, you said this was under investigation. How come nobody called me? It takes two people. You got to investigate, right? Well, how come no one's ever called me? How come nobody ever called a lawyer? Why is that? Why is that? I'd like to know. Why has no one called me? What's going on with the investigation of this?
Mr. Winkler, we're going to get an update on this particular matter later on in the meeting, and you'll be able to get all the information that's going to come to this committee. Where it is so far, and I'd invite you to stick around, and you'll get that information when we do.
Yeah, because this is insane. I mean, this guy, is he still working for you, by the way?
He is.
Yes.
It's great. Because I don't feel so bad, because I'm not the only person, you know, he's done this to. I mean, I've got other people. I've got a couple of insurance companies that'll come in here and talk to you people. They refuse to pay his bills. They refuse to pay his bills. Now, there's a reason for that. Why is there a reason for that? I mean, I don't go out and, like, on this tow, particular tow, there's three trucks, pictures, us unloading the truck. I had to come back, pick up this stuff. And he got paid for all of this stuff. Overinflated, everything. Well overinflated. And I just don't understand what keeps him around. If you do lousy work, if you're a thief, why are you allowed to stay here? Why? I'm sure I'm not the only person that's complained. Maybe I'm the only person that's complained this many times. Because the other people don't have the time to, you know, nor the money to keep coming back here. But there's a reason I'm coming back here. Because this isn't right. And if anybody wants to see these pictures, look at them. Look at them. And then tell me Linmar Towing is doing a good job for you. There's something wrong. Read your own towing rules. This truck was legally parked. And your man from the, it says here, right here, on the bill. And the second bill he sent me after he readjusted the first, so I must have made a mistake. I consulted with the tollway employee on how to park and remove the truck safely. So he threw you guys under the bus. He put your name on his bill. He put your name on his bill because he knew what was coming.
Well, thank you very much. Mr. Winkler, we will, like I said, this is going to be an item we're going to go through. And I think at the beginning you raised the issue. I know you've been here a couple of times. I think this is the third time. By my records, I think you were at the
meeting.
Yeah,
nobody's ever called you.
So, taking that, and we'll hear some more later.
Well, I expect a phone call.
Thank you.
When can I expect a phone call?
I think we'll get an update on our investigation. Our Inspector General is here. He's going to give an update on his investigation. We do not direct the IG's investigation. He's independent of tollway leadership. So he'll give an update. And
well, when can I hear about it?
And I think, well, you'll hear about it in this meeting.
Right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
No, sir.
No. Okay. The next item of business, we have approval of the minutes of the Customer Service Committee meeting that was conducted on September 19th, 2013. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
I will second it. Are there any changes, amendments, deletions? Seeing none, all those in favor of approval as submitted signify by stating aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Those passed. Thank you. Just under my agenda, additional items, one thing that I just want to follow up on. At the September meeting of this committee, we talked about, we were going through the social media presence of the tollway. One of the things that came out of this committee was we talked about the idea of putting those Twitter feeds also on our webpage so that people could access them if they were using another route or whatever. That has been done.
I can show a screenshot in the presentation, the PowerPoint, the Twitter feed.
There we go.
As proof, if we didn't already believe.
I was going to say I used it, but apparently that didn't carry any weight. But
I thought people might want
to see it.
I'm very proud of it.
Visual. What did they say? Picture 4,000 words.
There we go. So that's the only item that I have. That being said, we'll turn it over under Executive Director.
Great. Thank you very much. I wanted to, before kind of introducing a couple of today's items, I wanted to mention that one thing I've been working with our team on for this meeting is to kind of come back with some updates. There have been previous changes to customer policy procedures here that we've implemented as a result of this committee's work, and we wanted to come back and kind of report back on the outcome of those, whether we're seeing the performance that we expected or the changes in behavior that we were hoping for or not, and kind of touch base on whether we wanted to revisit any of those decisions or narrow or broaden them in any way. So I wanted to let the committee know that we were looking at that and work with the chair on developing an agenda for that in the coming year. Today I think we want to do Shauna will lead us in a brief recap of the committee's work plan, as well as a couple of updates, mentioning, of course, the Twitter feed. She obviously had that in her presentation, but also an update on our call center, which we've opened, which I know several folks here attended that opening. We're all very proud of our new customer call center, as well as the customer survey and some of the results of the customer survey that we sent out relative to kind of timing of violation notices and our customers' experience with violation notices that we think is, potentially informative for all of us as we think about changing some of those practices and policies. Then we will turn it over to, I know, Jim Wagner, our Inspector General, will have an update on his investigation into this matter that's been raised now a couple of times with the recovery incident out on our roadway with Linmar Towing and Mr. Winkler's product. He has looked into the matter and I think has an update for the board on what he has found having to do with that matter. And then secondly, we'll turn it over to John Benda, who I think many of you know, is head of our traffic maintenance division and oversees pretty much everything having to do with the roadway, including this towing, these towing contracts and removal of incidents and the management generally of incidents on our roadway in collaboration, of course, with the Illinois State Police. He is going to give a general presentation talking about the structure of these arrangements that we have with the companies, and also we'll be able to engage, I think, in a discussion around some, potential changes to the program, which we've been contemplating, and then, of course, any ideas that you have for ways that we can improve our efforts, which we're always anxious to do. I know that at last month's board meeting, we mentioned that this discussion of towing would be on the agenda, so we're happy that folks made it to this meeting of our Customer Service Committee to hear about those updates. And if it's okay, I'll turn it over to Shauna to give her presentation before we move on to towing.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I wanted to cover three items, really. The survey results that we talked about last time, the opening of the customer service call center, and the Twitter feed, which I believe you covered.
But we could watch it again.
But we could look at it again. There's no harm.
I'm so happy. Got it on there?
I know.
I beat you to the point.
When there's something that can be done quickly, it does feel really good. I completely agree.
There you go.
The survey, we had talked last time about the fact that we still look back at violations for 2 years. We don't tend to notice until you have three violations in a 2-year period. And we talked a lot about what that might mean in the future. Would we want to go to 1 year? Would we want to go to something even shorter? What would that mean for our costs and our volumes? And this committee aptly pointed out that we should ask our customers how they might feel about that. We did. We sent out an email to all of our IPAS account holders. We had over 1,700 responses, and 24% of our respondents, even though they're IPAS, that they had received a violation at one point or another. And then there were a few takeaways. It was a very brief survey, but one of the interesting things was that 40% of respondents believe that violations should be pursued regardless of how long ago the transaction occurred. That was the biggest group. Then there were another 20% that said, oh, you could do 2 years, another 20% said 1 year is fine, and then it really dropped off after that. So there was, in the IPAS group, I'm sure there's a little bit of selection bias here, but in the IPAS group, there was less tolerance for mistakes than maybe others might have thought,
And I do think that it's important to note it is the IPAS group, right?
Sure.
It's the easiest behind email addresses. We're able to do a fairly simple, you know, Survey Monkey type survey, pretty cost effective, but it is, you know, a top segment of our customer population, albeit a very large one, but, you know, has maybe a little bit more experience with our roadway.
In all due fairness, though, if you go back to the first slide when she put it up there, of the people that responded, these are 24% of the respondents
had received a violation at one point.
Right. So these are the people that it's beyond what you would traditionally expect based on that group, based on our high level of normal compliance. So I agree with what you say, Christy, but I do think that, you know, we've got that kind of broad spectrum, or maybe broader than we would otherwise expect.
Good.
Shauna Mass, if I may, please, the sample size, you feel comfortable with that in terms of...
It was all of the IPAS accounts for which we have an email address, and that's millions.
Well, that's what was sent out, right? And then we got 1,700, over 1,700 responses. So.
Right, so I guess I'm just asking you, you know, in terms of your sample size and in terms of respondents, you can make some general conclusions about...
Yes,
okay.
Order of magnitude type. I think that this helps us understand how our most frequent users probably feel. Yes. Then the next item, that one of the next points that came out of this was 70% of respondents believe drivers should be forgiven for 1, 2, or 3 missed tolls. So not that different from what we do today, compared to a very small percent that believes it should extend to 4 or 5 or beyond. So we forgive 2 missed tolls 2 years. Day, right? We let you go. We let those age out of the system if you don't. Those are the only mistakes you make in 2 years. And 70% of respondents said you can make a few mistakes, but there's no way you can make more than 4 or 5. Then more than 20% believe there should be no forgiveness for any couple. So it's so that was kind of like the group that said that they thought that violations should be pursued regardless of age. Then the 90% of respondents prefer using an IPAS-based, like a transponder-based IPAS account versus a video call. We asked them a little bit about this too, because...
at a discounted rate versus a cash rate.
Correct.
So I just want to be clear.
Versus a cash rate.
Which is good news. Our IPAS account holders like using an IPAS as long as they get a discount.
Correct.
So I'm not, again, this, I think it's it's helpful. They're happy with the...
And what?
With the product, which is good news.
It is good news because that is the most efficient and effective and accurate way to collect an electronic toll. So knowing that people were happy with that is helpful. And if you look at other tolling organizations, they have a harder time than we do at getting people to use transponders. So it was nice to kind of reaffirm that. Call center.
Do we want to have a, is there anything that we want to dive into these numbers at all or any additional?
Go ahead, you have a bow tie, you look smart.
I did compliment you on that beard. No, I was just going to thank you, Chrissy. I was just going to say, is there any plan for, I mean, what do we plan on doing with this information, with this data? Is there something that we can glean from this? In terms of a direction, or what do we learn?
I think what we discussed last time is that the way our current systems work, because it's so inflexible, we have to stick with what we have for now.
But that being the 2-year look back,
correct.
I think.
2-year look back.
Right, last time we looked at a couple of different scenarios
programs
for look back.
Computer systems. Computer systems. Right,
until we get a new system. Computer system in place.
The new system would be much more configurable, and when we had talked the other month, we had all in this committee, we had talked about the desire to possibly adjust the 2-year rule and make it shorter, a shorter time frame, so that if people made mistakes, they might know about them sooner. And then to kind of watch the data and have the capacity to calibrate that over time, as our driver population changes, preferences change, because the new system would be flexible enough to allow us to do that.
No,
go ahead.
I was going to say, do we want to think about revisiting that, given any of this data? I mean, again, you know, these are iPad customers, but as you pointed out, whether it just skewed naturally, people were more likely to respond if they had received a violation notice, or, you know, 24% of the respondents had experience with our violations, you know, seem like there's a high threshold of intolerance for, you know, mistakes or people missing more than a
You know, and I think if we circle this back around to when we first started this discussion, we took a look at, you know, the focus that we had was really twofold, I think, as we take a look at it. Number one, the impact on the recovery rate and our ability to operate within, you know, cash collection. The other was we're trying to take a look at maximize what we were going to be able to achieve as far as changing activity or changing behavior and what impact, if any, that would have. And then the other aspect, and maybe this goes along with that, was, you know, really, my thought going into this was, what was going to be the thought process of our customers, you know, taking that type of approach. Taking a look at this information when you had given it before and we had talked about this, I think that there is an appetite, this to me says that there's an appetite from our customers that we could take a look at shortening that period of a look back. And I think we've all been here and we've talked about this before, but the fact of the matter is, one of the things that we continually run into is people that do run into that 2-year or get close to that 2-year look back, all of a sudden they get their third violation. And the first one that they, you know, when they get the bill or when they get their notice, it goes back to an incident that may have happened 23 months ago. And although they're upset about getting it, the other part of it is, why did I not find out about that until now? And to me, it just seems, you know, utilizing a little bit of common sense, that if one of our goals is to actually change behavior, get people to address it, one of those things that we should do is take a look at providing that notice on a more proximate time frame, so decreasing that. And to me, the results here support that, at least from that third prong of what we're taking a look at. But I think we need to go in and do the next part of that evaluation, what we think the potential impact would be in changing that behavior. And based on the numbers that we've previously taken a look at, I think that goes along with where we were from dealing with the finance department.
Does anybody have any behavioral impact, financial impact?
That's my thought. I, you know. Director Dodson, you have anything?
Sir.
Excellent. All right.
When will the new system be remind you?
We're working on the final project plan right now. The group just came on board. They've been here for a few days. So we'll know more about that.
Our original goal was beginning of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were anticipating the contract to be in place several months ago, so the contract ultimately wasn't executed until very recently. We've also, I think, begun thinking about, and something we'd like to come back to this committee about is, you know, we do have, between Elgin O'Hare and even 294-57, we do have, you know, some new all-electronic facilities that are a little different for us. I mean, we've had local interchanges that are all-electronic, but they will be all-electronic. You know, is there kind of a test period where we allow, you know, some customer education to happen with those facilities as well? And that very much could be timed with, you know, the testing that we're going to be doing for the new system anyway. So at this point, we would probably still say beginning of 2015, but again, there may be more of a test period in the beginning and make sure that we can perform and that our customers can be educated about how they're supposed to handle that new infrastructure. So we'll come back when we have the project plan and a test plan for that to discuss.
Customer service call center. New. We went live with it on the University of Illinois Chicago campus on Sunday, November 3rd. We chose Sunday because it's our lowest call volume typically. We wanted to do it on a day where we felt very confident that we could staff to the point that every call could be answered very quickly. We did ribbon cutting on November 5th, that was on a Tuesday, a couple days after that. And we already are seeing improvements that we have long wanted. We are working not only in a new space that has many more seats available for customer service agents, but we also have a new phone system that allows us to do much better reporting, that helps us understand a little bit more about what's happening and helps us monitor on a much closer basis, on a kind of minute-to-minute, hour-by-hour, agent-by-agent basis, how things are going. We've already expanded staffing. We've seen calls answered much faster in the last week than we have in previous months. We've had call volumes go up over the last few years, largely because traffic's going up. We're opening new interchanges and whatnot, so that just leads to more call volume. And we expect continued improvement because we'll continue to calibrate based on the expanded reporting and whatnot that we have. Our new technology allows us to change messages much faster. We've always had a hard time changing any sort of messaging, holiday messages, you know, there's storm and electricity is out messages. We've always had a hard time with that. We won't anymore. Call routing has always been kind of set in stone with our old system. This one's much more flexible. So as we learn more things about the evolving needs of our customers, we'll be able to route them different places and change those routing mechanisms. Because we have more seats, we're able to expand and contract staffing depending on call volumes over the course of a day, a week, a month. And we're especially looking forward to the future integration with the new back office technology computer system we were just discussing, because that would allow a responsiveness that that I think everyone here would be familiar with. Say if you called into Visa or MasterCard, you know, the phone number itself kind of pulls up the account on the screen. That's the type of thing we can look forward to as we towards a new system. But this has been a big step forward and a great event, and for those of you who were there, it was really great to have you there. Here are some photos.
So who crossed the picture on the top on the right?
Is that me in the middle? They didn't do a good job. Was hoping maybe I'd occupy the space in the end. It could be. They cropped you out, though.
That's my point.
That's not you.
What? Know your audience.
Well,
oops. I'm kidding. I know. It's a truncated shot.
Yeah.
But you do see
our chair was there.
Yeah. You see one of the one of our customer service representatives there, in the white shirt, doing the ribbon cutting. And he's a Lighthouse employee, and he's visually impaired. And he delivered a really nice
talk about his own experience about getting hired and working with us. On the left-hand side, you see a picture of a swimming pool. That is what was in that space at UIC before we worked with them to build it out into the shiny call center that you see there at the bottom.
And I have had a lot of random people comment on what a great idea this was. People that I didn't even know knew I was associated with toll workers.
They probably had nothing nice to do before. We hope that.
They would not necessarily have volunteered anything, but they were just, I think people thought this was a terrific collaboration.
Well, and just to point out, we've talked about this, but I think as we're kind of recapping this, the things that, you know, were driving us when we did this before was, Shawna, you've documented the higher level of customer service that we're able to provide under this new system and under this new setup. The thing that we haven't really hit on is the fact that we're able to do it at a lower cost to the tollway than we were able to do before. You know, and I think that's the type of thing that this committee and this board's been committed to, and you know, so I applaud the effort and you know, the impact that we're able to have on the community and health development of those that are in need. I think is a win-win.
Here, here.
Congratulations, everybody.
Absolutely.
It was a great moment.
And we can document 9 days of beard growth between that.
You should come every week and be one of those pictures.
Oh, we'll work on the chia.
Okay. Good. And the Twitter feed, which we've already talked about. Great.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. Just wanted to hand off my baton. Okay. So now I'll ask Jim Wagner to come up and I think give an update. And of course, I know that you'll be available for any questions board members have about the work you've been doing on the situation that was raised by one of our customers on a towing incident on our roadway.
Sure. You want me to go up front or here?
It's up to you. The folks watching will find it easier for you to
up
hear
front?
You. But if you're more comfortable there,
no,
you're a little less formal sometimes.
Doesn't matter to me.
I do know that I had already presented a report that the chair and Christy had copies of. I have our copy here with me today. If the board members, after we talk about this, want to look through it, you're welcome to. It's the official office copy, so I'll have to keep it close by, but you can take a look at it. I don't intend to go into an extreme amount of detail, but I will certainly answer any questions that you may want to ask. Our office only became aware of this situation at the time of the board meeting when it was raised by Mr. Winkler. We did not have prior knowledge of the incident, which occurred on May 30, I believe. After that meeting, we opened up the investigation to attempt to determine what the facts were. As a result, we had several conversations with tollway employees, Mr. Benda, and others who were directly involved in the incident that day, as well as state police representatives. From the information that we gathered, it appeared, and we have the photographs to show, that a vehicle operated by Alfano Trucking Company and one of their employees was attempting to exit 290 southbound onto 294. And documents indicate that he was carrying a load of wood chips, approximately 78,000 pounds, and did not successfully complete the exit, and actually the trailer portion cracked in the middle, resulting in the driver not being able to completely get onto 294. I believe the documents indicated he was heading toward Romeoville with the load. As a result of that, in order to keep the load from spilling on the highway, he moved to the side of the road and therefore was on the exit ramp, which is considered by the tollway a high-speed exit ramp. He was not blocking the traffic at that point, but he was in the shoulder. But it's still a dangerous situation because it is a high-speed exit ramp. The tollway employees, using the policy and procedures that they have in place, contacted Linmar to come and do a recovery. The policy which has been implemented by the tollway clearly refers to this incident as a recovery, since the trailer could not be towed in the shape that it was in. The pictures show the support arms, which you have certainly, I imagine, seen on the front of the trailer, were actually dragging and were not supporting it. I'm sorry, go right ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but can you just explain what alternatives there is to a recovery?
A tow.
What would it be?
A tow. If a vehicle is towable, that would be preferable because it would be more rapid in the response and clearing the lanes. But if that's not possible, then it's considered a recovery where more effort is required. In this instance, the device, it was called a dolly, was placed under the portion that was sagging of the trailer. There are different styles and types of those pieces of equipment. This was a one-axle dolly that was placed underneath the sagging portion when Linmar arrived, and it was evidently not the best choice because it forced the weight forced the dolly to bend in the center, but that was Linmar's choice to use that piece of equipment. At least when that was accomplished, they were able to move the trailer from that location to maintenance garage number 2 of the tollway in Hillside, which is on Cermak, a little further south of where the incident occurred. At that time, the decision was made to offload the wood chips at the M2 garage site, and therefore the trailer then could be towed because it wasn't under pressure and there was no danger then of also spillage of all of that load out onto the tollway. The trailer was moved to Linmar's site, which is in, I believe, Morton Grove, Niles Skokie area. And the event was cleared as far as the tollway personnel were concerned. In looking at the policies and procedures, one of the other factors is the billing. And whenever an event occurs like this, it is a requirement of the contract, let's say, between the tollway and the operator, the company, recovery company, to submit on tollway forms their bills, and those are then reviewed by the tollway engineering department. At that time, when they looked at the billing, there were in their eyes some discrepancies as to a portion of the bills, and an adjustment was recommended and actually insisted upon by the tollway engineering department. And that was agreed upon by the company. Further, pursuant to the tollway policies and procedures, the engineering department determined that due to the performance of Linmar and the billing, they were suspended for a two-month period and were so advised by Mr. Benda via a letter. I believe, I've been told, that the engineering department continues to review the agreement with all of the companies. I believe there were 9 total companies that have similar agreements. I may not have the exact number. I'm not looking at the report right now. But I believe there are 9 different companies. And I think it's also important to point out that part of the agreement that exists is that there is an annual inspection required by the tollway of the equipment used by these companies to ensure that they have the appropriate equipment in good working order. And that includes not only the trucks, but also the types of equipment that are required for safety reasons by the tollway, by the Illinois State Police, in order to perform towing and recovery. We checked the files, and those have been done with Linmar as far as the checking the equipment. My only recommendation to the board, to the chair, and to Christy was to continue to review the contracts and ensure that the companies were all appropriately conducting the work and that they had the equipment that was required, because we did not go back and review all of the companies as far as the review of the performance of those companies. We only looked at the one. In a nutshell, that's basically it. I had no other requirements or recommendations as far as any conduct or work by the tollway. I thought from what I reviewed that they operated correctly in this instance. Yes?
Jim, just kind of stick with me here. I've got a few questions between what we got from public comments and this.
Sure.
As Christy pointed out earlier, you were asked, when we were made aware of this at the June meeting, you were first made aware of it and began to take a look at it. That was independent of this committee or the board. So as part of your investigation or review of this matter, there's been some question raised about the witnesses or people that you talk to versus people you may not have. If you could just explain to us how you made the decision you did and or the decisions you did as a little background there.
One point that I don't think I mentioned before, and I don't have the exact date, but I do know the first thing that I noticed when we started looking at this was the fact that Mr. Benda and people from the tollway had already been looking into this prior to that June board meeting. They were aware of this. They had also had conversations with the people involved. Mr. Benda had already obtained signed statements from the people who were directly involved, had copies of the police reports, and so I obtained those copies to review. As a general matter, when the Office of the Inspector General is going to review a matter involving the tollway, keep in mind that the only thing we're going to do is attempt to determine if things were done correctly per the policies and procedures, and if not, to make a recommendation as to how to correct whatever we have noted. In doing that, we will talk to the people who have direct knowledge, who were present, who have factual data to present. If someone wasn't present, it does me no good to talk to whatever their opinion might be. And it's a waste of everyone's time. And so we have attempted to obtain information from the tollway people who are under our jurisdiction, and the company who is in contract with the tollway, and obtain that information. I have no jurisdiction over outside companies.
In taking, as you described the findings here, I understand that the trailer and the truck were actually on the shoulder. However, am I correct in as you've described it, it was based on the fact that though it was on the shoulder, it was on a high-speed ramp that changed that position? In other words, made the call to the company to be in compliance with the tollway policy?
The position was dangerous in as much as the location is a high-speed ramp, but the condition of the trailer also made it dangerous because it appears quite likely that an attempt to simply tow the vehicle and trailer away could have resulted in breakage and spillage across the tollway of the wood chips. And so it was necessary to consider it a recovery. And in order to move it, a dolly had to be, well, first of all, it had to be lifted up. A dolly had to be placed underneath the middle portion that was sagging. Then it could be moved off the ramp.
And then did you say that that trailer was subsequently towed to Linmar up someplace north? I wrote it here. Up to Morton, or to Morton Grove then? And was that after the load was removed?
My understanding from the documentation is that the trailer was removed to M2, Maintenance Garage 2, in Hillside off of Cermak, where the wood chips were offloaded, and then the trailer was moved to the Linmar yard, which is, I think it's Morton Grove.
And that was because in the capacity or the physical state the trailer was in, it was deemed not to be safe to carry that load or tow it with that load at that time?
I don't have an answer for you as to directly why it was moved to Linmar. I can only tell you that that's what the facts show, that it was moved from M2 to Linmar.
Okay. And then moving on to the next part, which seems to be the billing adjustment, the billing practice. And there's a couple of questions that I have. First of all, as was referenced by Mr. Winkler, and I think that goes along with what you've said, there was an original bill that was submitted, or am I correct in understanding there was an original bill submitted, and based on the standard protocol, all bills are reviewed, and that's when the initial deduction or reduction occurred? Is that right?
That's my understanding from the documents. There was an initial bill. And again, I'm not looking at direct evidence, but it was in the neighborhood of $8,500.
Okay.
When the billing statements were reviewed by Mr. Benda's group, several items were stricken as not appropriate. And the agreement contains charts of what bills should be charged for certain work. And so based upon that, a reduction of approximately $3,500, if I'm correct, was demanded and was approved.
Okay, so that's then the revised bill. And based on your review, the review that was conducted by the tollway staff and the revised bill, that was all submitted, and that would be within the protocol and the policies of the tollway on any other matter as well?
That's correct. Whenever the bills come in, again, on documentation that's approved by the tollway that these companies are supposed to use, it's reviewed by the engineering department for approval, and that's when it was determined there were things that should be stricken.
Okay, thank you. And then one last question that I have, and this goes back to, I think, my notes from originally in June when Mr. Winkler was here. One of the things that was discussed was the fact that the bill was due and owed upon the actual towing rather than a billing process in the mail in 30 days. Is that in compliance with policy and procedures as under the tollway?
It's my understanding that when a job is performed at the site upon the request of the tollway or Illinois State Police, a payment is expected at that time.
But again, that does not preclude the tollway from reviewing the bills looking for an adjustment.
So if we do have, the payment is required on site, and following, as you've described it, our protocol and policy, if there's a review and a subsequent reduction, then it would mandate that the vendor then at that point actually does, as was described, provide the physical remuneration or refund of the money that was paid. Is that
correct? That's correct.
I think at this point we probably, you know, we've got John that's going to talk about policies. So that would probably be appropriate to do that as well at this point.
So go forward with John, and then maybe another opportunity for something. Is that fair?
Yeah. Okay.
That's just
right. Okay.
John.
I think we're going to have one more presentation, and then I think the chair was going to let you speak to Paul.
And just my reasoning or my thought process on this is really there's two separate issues here. Number one is we're dealing with policy and procedure, and the other one is the fact-specific investigation. I think that Jim was able to give us what he ascertained as far as his investigation into this. I think for us as a committee to understand this, John Benda will be able to provide us with a little information regarding the policy, and I think then with that full arsenal.
I just want to say I've already spoken to the chair that I do have to leave a little bit early, but I want to make sure that we have a quorum. Unfortunately, there's another department I have to go to. So I just wanted to make sure.
I don't think we don't have a formal action that we have to take here. So.
Okay, I just want to make sure that I
have to. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk on a subject that's near and dear to my heart. And from a global perspective, the issue is really traffic and incident management. So I want to frame an eventual discussion about recovery and our towing program with the discussion about incident management at first. What I want to run to is the importance of incident management, review our performance measures, and I'll have to jump out of sequence a couple. We got one slide in the wrong spot, but then I want to talk about incident management agreements, the towing and the recovery agreements that are at issue and being discussed today. Talk about our current selection process, a proposed selection process that we've been working on for over a year that we hope to roll out next year, and then have some discussion with the committee and hopefully get some direction on some questions that we have as we craft a new agreement and some new procedures. So why is incident management important? It's to provide safe and efficient travel on our system, what the feds would call safety and mobility. As a toll road, we're obviously very concerned about that. We're very customer-focused, and I would submit to you that incident management is a very customer-focused effort. It's an attempt to relieve congestion, and you'll see why in a minute, to reduce secondary crashes, and the net result is providing outstanding service to our customers. So why is incident congestion an issue? For each minute that a lane is blocked, and that's actually a photo of I-90 when a crash had occurred that blocked the lane. For each minute that a lane is blocked, the Federal Highway Administration will tell you that there's a resulting 4 minutes of delay. Actually, when we did our own calculation back in the early 2000s, it was more like 10 minutes of delay or 9 minutes. So for each minute you have a lane out of service, you can rate a huge amount of congestion to the customer. Blocking one lane out of three actually reduces capacity of that three-lane section by 50%. Yeah.
Thank you. That being said, I'll take a motion to adjourn the meeting. Second, all those in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed, we, committee itself, so we know if we move the votes or further action taken. We are, however, going to be open and we'll continue this discussion outside of the committee meeting. You didn't need to understand it or anything, just...
This is a first for me. I've never had a presentation have the committee adjourn their meeting in the middle of my presentation.
I believe that's a showstopper.
Did I say something wrong? Okay, so we're concerned about reducing disruptions to the system. Incidents are what we call non-recurrent congestion. They happen, we try to prevent them, but they do happen in the system. And if you take two lane out of service, you're actually reducing capacity by 50%. The other statistic that's really telling is secondary crashes. Right now across the nation, crashes are running, we understand, in the range of 18%. Those are crashes, secondary crashes that occur as a result of a first crash. Statistically, they're usually much more severe than the initial crash. So these are all good reasons why we manage incidents. Key elements of incident management, traffic and incident management in the center, the computer-aided dispatch, our central dispatch center, which is down in the basement of this building, and the traffic operations center that's been in operation for about 10 years on the second floor. Those are the communication nerve centers, particularly the dispatch center that dispatches the four key elements you see underneath. On the left, fire and ambulance, and this, maintenance, the help truck, as well as other maintenance vehicles. Maintenance employees are all trained in incident response, so we have an ability to respond everywhere in the system very quickly when something happens. State police, critical involvement, the fact that we work closely with the state police and are on the same page. And the topic of today's discussion, the towing and recovery, which is the other fourth key element in what makes incident management work and work effectively. Some statistics, and really there's two programs, and I need to differentiate. On the left, you'll see towing and road service. That's one towing program. That's when there's a breakdown vehicle, a disabled vehicle, a minor crash between two cars, or a crash between three cars. Essentially, if a tow truck can back up to the vehicle and tow it away, regardless of the size, that's considered towing. Or if it's two cars and maybe one car's rolled over, we handle those as crashes, and those are handled by the light-duty tow operators. So those are basically standard tows and crash clearance. In 2012, we handled 9,623 medium, heavy-duty, and automotive tows. And our average for clearance time for tow is about 30 minutes. That's actually a pretty good statistic when you figure that's response time, hooking up the vehicle and getting it out of the way. These agreements were formalized in 1993. Okay, prior to that, towing was handled as a board resolution with the state police administering towing. So that transitioned to the agency, and the key is formal agreements were created. Now, today I'm going to spend some time, when we talked earlier about recovery, let me run through that, and then I'll give you some statistics on overall incident management before we dig into the recovery a little bit more. As was indicated earlier, there are 9 recovery firms that provide this service on our system. There's 30 tow operators, but there are 9 recovery. Some of the recovery firms also do towing for us as well. It just depends on whether they have an agreement or not. These are major incidents. So a semi rolls over, or a semi crashes into another semi, semi versus cars, semi versus bridge, or overhead message sign. Those are all considered recovery, okay? And basically, if a unit can be safely backed up to and towed, we call that a heavy-duty tow. If for some reason, in the case of Mr. Winkler, his load, that trailer was compromised, we could not assure that if somebody backed up and hooked up and towed away, that the trailer wouldn't breach and thereby jeopardize the safety of other motorists on our system. So in that case, we call recovery for that. That's how that all works.